There once was a criminal who committed a crime. That's no surprise. That's what criminals do. That's their chosen profession, right? This criminal was sent to the king for his punishment. And the king told this criminal he could choose his punishment. He could choose from two different punishments. The first one was to be hung by a noose. And the second one, he could choose what's waiting for him behind the big, dark, scary door. Well, the criminal, he quickly chose the noose, chose the rope. And as the noose was being slipped on him, he turned to the king and he asked, "Just out of curiosity, what's behind the door?" Well, the king laughed and said, "You know, it's funny. I offer the same choice to everyone, and nearly everyone chooses the rope." "So," said the criminal, "what's behind the door? It's not like I'm going to tell anyone," he said, pointing to the rope. Well, the king paused and answered, "Freedom. It's freedom that's behind the door, but most people are so afraid of the unknown that they immediately take the rope." I love this message. How all too often we find ourselves clinging to what's familiar or playing the cards that have been dealt to us out of fear of change or lack of trust, or maybe you just think it's your legacy. We choose the rope, a familiar pain, a familiar pattern, a familiar struggle, a familiar addiction. We hold tight to the proverbial rope. And you know what? We're kind of used to it. It fits, and it's just where I'm at. Fear has us right where he wants us, frozen, unable to move on from addiction, move on from abuse, move on from abandonment, move on from regret, or move on what we have perceived as normal in our lives, or just move on from. I mean, you can find something, you may be able to find something in your life right now that fear is enabling you to move on from, or leave it behind, or give it to God. We become frozen in thought, frozen in function, and frozen from freedom. So what keeps us there, unable to move on from the rope? Or who keeps us there? You can begin to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 32. And in this chapter, Jesus calls his 12 disciples and he gives them authority over unclean spirits and gives them the ability to cast out demons. And he gives them the ability to heal every disease and every affliction. Jesus gives them instructions on how to act. He warns them that they are like sheep being sent out among the wolves. And don't miss this. Jesus reminds each one of them that it is not you who speaks, but the Father speaking through you. We are like vessels empowered by God to be used for his glory. Jesus warns the disciples that they can expect to be mistreated because they are followers of Christ. And we need to be aware of the wolves. We need to pay attention to the wolves. We just can't turn our backs on the wolves. But we just need to be aware that there are forces in the world that are not of God. So excuse me for a second. So we do need to be aware of the wolves, but Jesus reassures us in this today's lesson that we do not need to fear them. So please stand as we read Matthew 10, verses 26 through 32. "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those that can kill the body, but that cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your presence here today and your presence in our lives each and every day. Jesus, we thank you for your words found in today's scripture and for your guidance, wisdom, and reassurance that is promised by you through the Father. Please open our hearts today to receive your message, open our eyes to see the lost, and move our feet in response to your will. Amen. You can be seated. So fear, what's that look like? A quote from one of the great theologians of our time, Jerry Seinfeld, says, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. The number two fear is death. Does that sound right? So this means to the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than reading the eulogy. So what do you fear the most? Anybody want to share? What do you fear the most? Rats? Great, so you got a phobia of rats? Snakes? Spiders? Failure? For myself, I'll kind of bear myself here. I fear being alone. Yep, a big guy like me who would more than often be able to take care of himself in most situations, I'm nothing but a 51-year-old baby when it comes to being alone. Really, it's pretty much only inside my house. You know, any house, you know, if I'm alone, especially at night. I don't like it when my family's away for a night or two. You know, I kind of like that. Anybody a fan of Iron Maiden? All right, I know Linda's a fire fan. The song Enter Sandman, when it says sleep with one eye open, that's been me on many occasions in my past, you know. I'm not sure where this comes from, but I think it's a fear of abandonment. That happened when I was around 10 years old. My parents took me and my siblings through just a verbally and physically abusive divorce. No kids need to witness it. It's bad enough that you're taking all the securities that your kids have ever learned, and you're just wiping them away for your own sake. So, you know, another thing that happened at that time was my two older sisters thought it would be a good idea to have me watch the movie Amityville Horror. And to this day, I will not watch any horror movies, especially ones that deal with the darkness of our evil adversary. This type of fear freezes me, but however, I've come to know that in the end that God wins and that I'm important to him, I matter to him. So this brings me peace in times of trouble. So there are three kinds of fear, three different words for fear found in the Greek. The Greek word eulabela, this means to show reverence or utmost respect. We often call this as godly fear. Another Greek word is phobio, and that's where the word phobia comes from. Phobio is meaning to be seized with fear or struck or paralyzed with fear. This fear may have been what Mary and Joseph felt when the angel of God appeared to them. And that is why the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid." I mean, can you imagine? How would you feel? We hear in the Bible, or we read in the Bible, that angels are fierce-looking creatures in some aspects. And, I just can't imagine how they felt. And the last Greek word to describe fear is dialia, to be timid or cowardly. And this one has caused people to respond to things in a way that may not bring glory to God, or responds in ways that put distance between you and God. In Genesis chapter 20, Abraham lies to the king out of fear. And maybe one we're more familiar with is found in Matthew chapter 26, where Peter denies Christ three times out of fear for his life. Or fear can keep you from stepping out in faith. Maybe you've been hurt by someone, or maybe you've been hurt by a church in your past, and you're not going to let that happen again. And you say it to yourself, and I mean, I've done it. I'm just not going to allow myself to get hurt, and I'm going to keep this person or this church or this relationship out here. I'm going to keep it at arm's length. Sure, I have a lot to offer them, but the cost may be more than I'm willing to risk. Or maybe we're afraid to forgive. That person doesn't need it anyway. Well, forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. We need to remain right in God's eyes and forgive as He has forgiven us. Or you may have found yourself with an opportunity to share your faith. We kind of touched on that this morning in our Bible study. So, I mean, you may have found yourself an opportunity to share your faith with an unbeliever, and you froze for fear of not knowing what to say or not knowing what their response is going to be. I've been in this spot, and I was afraid to answer the questions that came back at me for fear of getting them biblically wrong. I feared my lack of knowledge would ruin the opportunity that God had put before me to share about Him. Fear froze me, and fear made something so right seem so complicated. You see, if we continue to walk in fear, who wins? If we continue to remain still, frozen, unable to move, to act, to trust, or to grow in our faith, who wins? We allow fear to win. Fear keeps us still, and fear robs us of our joy and our happiness. So Jesus begins today's scripture with, "So have no fear of them." Other translations, the NIV says, "So do not be afraid of them." The NLT, "So do not be afraid of those who threaten you." Or the New King James reads, "Fear them not." And this is Jesus's key command in today's scripture. Jesus is reassuring his disciples, listen, you don't have to be afraid to share what you have seen. The truth has come to light. The truth has come to life. Let me ask you something. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you ever told a lie? Come on, we're in church. We're no judgment here. Have you ever told a lie, big or small? What happens? Maybe nothing. Maybe you get away with it. Or maybe you find yourself having to defend the lie. And sometimes it leads to another lie, and then another lie, and then another lie. And then you have to remember what you said, how you lied, to who, about what. Is that right? So you're always playing the defense. Wouldn't it have been easier to tell the truth in the first place? The truth needs no defense. Jesus goes on and says, "For nothing is covered that will be that will not be revealed, are hidden that will not be known. There is nothing that God does not see. This brings comfort to the upright and emptiness and chaos to the wicked. You see, God will bring judgment to every secret thing, whether it's good or bad. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, we are reminded to do our best and present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the truth. Amen? Jesus continues in verse 27, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the housetops." Do you know there are still places in the world today that the truth is proclaimed with a whisper? The fear of being a martyr. The definition of a martyr is one who is killed for their religious or other beliefs. So the fear of being a martyr is real. Yet they meet, they share the gospel in the only way they can, and people are being saved because of it. So what's the cost to us here in America? Like I mentioned before, maybe fear of inadequacy or fear of rejection. Or maybe we're just comfortable and content with going to church on Sunday and keeping that lamp covered, shining just bright enough to bring light to those who we don't fear, who aren't a threat to you or me, and they're not a threat to our faith. But have no fear. Praise God. We have the freedom here in America, in this town in Portage, Wisconsin. We have the freedom here to proclaim the gospel, not in the dark and not in a whisper. But we can boldly go stand on top of that mountaintop and proclaim the gospel of Christ. Amen? In verses 28 through 31, Jesus again reassures the 12 to not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but not the soul. Don't be afraid of rejection. Don't be afraid of those who can physically hurt you or emotionally hurt you. You got to be aware of that and you got to protect yourself, but don't be afraid of that. God's got your back. Don't be afraid of falling or failure. Just keep fighting. The truth is the truth, and we are promised in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Jesus continues in verse 28. He reminds us, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but not the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Man or circumstances cannot destroy the soul. The soul belongs to God." Only God controls the soul. And in reverence, we need to only fear God for his sovereignty and for his mercy. Just a side note, as I was preparing for the sermon, and you know, at first glance, one could perceive that verse 28 could be talking about our adversary, Satan, when it says, "Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." But not once in the Bible does it say, "Fear him, fear Satan." Never says, "Fear Satan." We are, however, warned to not be deceived by Satan. We're warned that the thief comes to steal and destroy. We're told to resist the devil, and we're told to be alert and of sober mind, and we are taught to put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. But on the flip side, 32 different verses in the Bible refer to have no... I'm sorry. 32 verses in the Bible We're taught in 32 verses in the Bible to have a fear of God. Not a fear that freezes us or makes us paranoid, but a fear of reverence and for mercy. Luke chapter 1, verse 50 says, "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." So what can you buy for a penny nowadays? Maybe you can get a cell phone, the second cell phone for a penny after you overpay for the other one, right? But that's about it, right? You've seen those deals, right? But I guess being that we're roughly 2,000 years from the time this passage was written, what can you buy? A better question would be, what can you buy for a dollar? Depends on where you shop, right? You ever been in the Dollar Tree? Every time we go in there, I ask Faith, I said, everything's a dollar, right? You know, and sometimes there's a 2-for-1 price, right? But I do it every time. I'm like, look at this. It's only a dollar. So you take your kid shopping to the Dollar Tree, right? And your kid finds something that they want, and they're on you about it. They want this toy. And you know that they're not the best made toys there, but they stay on you enough and where you're like, all right, fine, it's only a dollar, get 2 of them, you know? You pay for it, you get to the car, and they start playing with it on the way home. Immediately, one toy breaks, and without missing a beat, your kid turns, picks up the other toy, and starts playing with it. And it holds their attention the rest of the way home. So we're going to fast forward 6 months, and you finally have time to vacuum out that car, that back seat. You dig through all the Pop-Tarts, chips, and snacks. And you come across both toys never played with again, other than that 10-minute ride on the way home from the store. Cast aside without a care. Is that how it is with God? Scripture today tells us different. Scripture today tells us that God cares and knows all of us. We are assured that nothing in his creation falls or stumbles without him knowing it. Even a sparrow on a 2-for-1 clearance sale matters to God. God knows our struggles, and not one of our fears or struggles go unnoticed. Jesus says, Jesus says in verse 31, "Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." That's comfort and security for us in a world that is in many ways intimidating and unkind to those who believe in Jesus. We are valued by our Maker. He loves and protects us. And if that's not enough, he throws a promise to us. It's kind of like when we go apply for a job and somebody's asking for you to give references. They're asking for somebody to speak on your behalf. Jesus says, acknowledge me, speak of me, and be my hands and feet. In Scripture today, he says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will." I'm pretty sure that's a promise. If Jesus says he will, Jesus will, okay? "I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." So how's that for a reference? By not being afraid to share your faith to others, Jesus promises to stand the gap for us, to take our sin upon himself, and to present us blameless before God. And he acknowledges us. He gives us a reference. He's our reference to God for us. So we need to not be afraid to take every opportunity we get to share the gospel, to share to people who we were before we knew Christ, to share with people what Christ accomplished for us on the cross, and to share with people who we are now that we have Christ in our lives. And we don't need to be afraid to share. We need to boldly do that. We should fear what would happen to those people. What would happen to those family members? What would happen to your friends who don't know Christ if they don't come to know him? Or we need to fear watching someone struggle that doesn't know Christ and go through their lives not having him in their lives, and not having him when they go before God in judgment, acknowledge that this one is mine. So we need to fear that. So in a minute here, we're going to have Faith come up here and share a song with us. Most of you have heard this song. It's written by Zach Williams. And this song kind of moves me every time I listen to it. The first part of the song talks about doubt and insecurities that we may sometimes feel. And who takes that opportunity to play into that? Satan does, right? He likes just to keep us at bay, and he takes every opportunity he can to dig his talons into us. So the chorus of the song calls out fear for what it is and who he is. I want you to pay attention to the effects of fear. And have you been there? Frozen because of lack of rest? Or you find yourself in a constant battle and you just can't get it out of your mind at night or throughout the day? Fear can steal your joy and it can steal your happiness. And fear is lying to us. It's keeping us from a life fully alive in Christ. Don't listen to fear. Don't listen to him. Open your ears and hear God's promises and commands. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. Fear no evil. He delivered me from all my fears. The Lord loves those who fear him. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. And be on your guard and stand firm in faith. Time after time after time, we are commanded and reassured not to fear. So go and fear not, therefore. You are of great value to God. Amen.